You're listening to the Yeshiva of Newark podcast. I'm your host and curator, Rabbi Avram Kivalevich, and I hope you enjoy this episode. With downloads approaching the million mark and an archival library numbering in the thousands, the Yeshiva of Newark podcast has been striving to continuously upgrade our content, professionalize our audio sound, along with altering approaches in light of much appreciated listener feedback. I firmly believe the niche has been carved out that resonates with many on the wide spectrum of observant Jews. This explains why we continually rank high in independent online lists of top yeshiva podcasts. That proud edifice is in real danger of toppling and disappearing. We need the help of our listeners to continue to record and edit, to promote a product that has been a balm and instructor to so many. Just $36. As a minimum donation from 1,000 of you out there will keep us afloat as a Newark of straight, intelligent, humorous discussion, lectures, debate, and inquiry, while the destructive waters of ignorance and identity politics, cyberbullying, crash around us. Your generous contributions will seal and galvanize this ark till it comes to a satisfying rest in an era of Moyer Tzdeya, heralding Mashiach, B'mheira, B'yameinu, Amen.
And now, Rischa Daraisa, coming your way. Get ready.
If it's Moitzei Shabbos Kodesh, Rosh Chodesh Adar, finally, Adar Beis, that is, this must be Rischa Daraisa. I'm here with Rabbi Yosef Gavriel Bechofer. Surprise. Who else?
Rabbi Avram.
Yes.
Do you think that our listening to Rischa falls in the category of Marvin B'Simcha?
I do believe that you will be well on your way to Simcha Mitius, listening to Rischa Daraisa. People have told me, by the way, they have listened to some of the old shows, and they feel that we definitely have gone through an evolution somewhat. They have talked about how we have altered some of our chit-chat and bric-a-brats on each other. I have heard, by the way, people have said there hasn't been enough salvos being tossed at each other lately. So I'm not sure. You know, maybe we should start doing that. I think we both want to toss salvos. We have two Rabbanim Chashuvim who have pretty significant positions that we want to really throw some shade on, I guess, today. Let's start with one that I wasn't so familiar with, but it turns out he's one of your third cousins, Rabbi Leo Mali, who is the Rosh Yeshiva in Yeshivat Hester in Shirat Moshe in Yafo. He spoke at something which I was very, very happy to hear about, which is a kinus of all the Hester Yeshivot that happened in Keren V'Yavne. Keren V'Yavne, of course, which is sort of like the granddaddy of Hester Yeshivot. So all of them came together to meet each other, to meet the Rabbanim, to meet the kids, to basically hear Divrei Torah and Chizuk, and it wasn't, you know, Shiurim and Lumdus only. There was also, of course, in Hashkafa, and especially what's going on today. And Rabbi O'Malley said clearly, although I found it so surprising, he started off saying, the interest of Shura, as we say in Yiddish, the Nekuda Tachtona here is that you must listen to Pekuda Tzahal, because, of course, the Hester Yeshiva boys are on their way to the army soon. But then he said something which was, as you said, has already been picked up by all the Arab websites. And why don't you say over what your cousin said?
Well, my third cousin, once removed, said that the Los Chai Kol Neshama applies to the Arabs of Gaza, because Los Chai Kol Neshama is based on Abul Hagafa Hashkim Hargo.
Okay, can I stop you for a second? He's already mixed like two areas of Allah. Los Chai Kol Neshama is a special Torah de Ketzivui on the Shiva Amim. Possibly Malik is also included in that, but it's not because Abay L'Hargacha, right? If they don't submit to the Tanoim, as the Rambam says in Hilchos Malachim, you kill them, but it's not the Din of Roidev, where that you have to save yourself. It's not Baiba Machteres. So I'm not sure exactly what he meant by that, but go ahead. Yes, he said they have to be wiped out.
That's like a time of the cry, obviously. So then he said, was asked again.
But it's wrong. It's not, but that's not the real idea. It's not, that's not what the time of the crow is. By Baba Machteris, that's Taka. In other words, Rava.
I think he's going, you know, with the Bavus, the Reb Chaim, everybody asserts, you know, that Amalek is a din of anybody any enemy of Kali Yisrael, this
Amalek. Right, but he didn't say that. He didn't use the word Amalek. He didn't say that, I don't think. Listen, Rosh Hashiva to be a little bit confused in a political statement, I guess, is not so surprising. But what did he say?
He said it applies to women because women will give birth to terrorists. It applies to children because children go up to baby terrorists. Applies to old people because they're really 95% of them want to kill the Jews.
Right. So he said that even though that normally is not the case, but in terms of the Palestinians in Gaza, he says he studied it and he's thought very well on this matter. And even though he said, I know that this is being broadcast on the internet, he said that basically everyone in Gaza, Kemat, except 2%, they are all terrorists. And he says they all want our destruction. And therefore, killing them is really a mitzvah, as part of the mitzvah of Milchemes Mitzvah. So that's what Mali said. And, yes. Holy Mali. I mean, wow.
He knows that it's going to be on the web. What is it? What is he doing? He wants Am Yisrael to suffer? It's going to cost Jewish lives. It's going to cost support for Jews. It's going to be used in the International Court of Justice. What kind of an insane person is this?
Maybe he's less than once removed from you. I don't know.
Because of good litvicious stock. But if they're going to listen to this, that's very bad. Two things. First of all, we don't believe Los Chayek HaNesham applies to Arabs.
Yes.
It doesn't apply to Muslims. It doesn't apply
to Christians. It applies to the Shiva Amim who were in Eretz Yisrael when Yoshua and Klal Yisrael came to be Kavish.
Right. You have no right, the Rosh Hashiva and Yafo, the Amin of Ritzvi Yehuda that you might be, to come along and say that this Los Chayek HaNesham applies to Arabs in Gaza. And besides that, it's only once you call Shalom. Where's the Kriya Shalom?
Right. Now, okay, there you might say that they've had a shtickle Kriya L'Sholem before. You could say that throughout the Dairis, there has been a Kriya L'Sholem. There has been something.
But the problem is that the Kriya L'Sholem, in theory, the Kriya L'Sholem was answered positively by the non-Hamas Arabs. And Hamas, they've been in control since 2005. Nobody knows that they still represent the people of Gaza in a way in which they would vote if they weren't afraid for their lives. So, I don't know. But you're right. Perhaps the second point is not a strong point. I'm willing to rescind that if necessary. But the first point is a valid one, which is Los Chayek HaNesham does not apply in this case. And even if it did, then to say so is a mamish redifa of ourselves. We put ourselves in an untenable position.
Let's go to our second target tonight. And we've talked about him in the past. We talked about how effective of a writer he is, how effective of a machaber he is, someone who has done a covet to the position that he holds. And that is, of course, Rabbi Yitzchak Yosef. And just like his father, Rav Shalom Chacham Avadya, held these rollicking shiurim / speeches filled with bikiyas and all these type of comments on Motzei Shabbos, he has followed in his father's footsteps in a program that I think is live on the radio every Motzei Shabbos, where he gives his drosha, his shir. And tonight, he was again talking about the push that I think by March 24th, that there is a deadline to try to push through a tzav that is going to lift totally and completely the exemption for yeshiva bachrim to force them really to report for national service. So he said, and I assume this is an exact quote, Tzrichim lavin, she b'li ha-Torah, b'li ha-Yeshivot, lo haya kiyum, lo hayta hatzlacha la-tzava. Okay. Without Torah, the tzava cannot be successful. And then he said, hatzlacha, זה רק בזכות החיילים, או סליחה, זה בזכות בני תורה. כי החיילים מצליחים בזכות בני תורה, רבותיי. כל אחד צריך לומר את זה בגאווה. כן, אנחנו עוסקים בתורה. התורה היא שמגן עלינו. Now, of course, we've heard this before. But first of all, I just want to say, you know, he did have a little slip there where he said that everything is בזכות החיילים, not בזכות התורה. But again, he doesn't have Joe Biden's teleprompter, I suppose, in front of him. But he then said something echoing eerily what you said last week on the program, that he said, we'll leave. He said, if there's going to be a tzav that the B'nai Torah are going to have to enlist en masse and become part of, involve themselves in national service, we'll leave the country. And once again, this was something, because it's on the radio, because it's a world that everything is picked up. This was picked up by Avigdor Lieberman. Chaval, Sha'arav Yosef, Vatzanim Acharidim, Mamshichim Lefkoa Bibitchona Sho Yisrael, Ulifor Biniguru Alacha. Again, I'm not sure if Avigdor Lieberman didn't know, against Alacha. But Yair Lapid says, Harav Yosef, who oved Medina. As much as Yair Lapid is an opportunist and he's no great tzaddik, he's right. Rav Yitzchak Yosef gets quite a nice salary and taken care of as Rav Roshi. And it seems like this is something, once again, it's one thing if you're sitting around your table with your family or and there's no microphones on and you want to say, look, oh, maybe we should move to Lakewood, don't they realize it? It's another thing when these statements, whether it's Elio Mari or Rav Yitzchak Yosef, who is a lot, he carries a lot more weight.
Yeah, I would like to juxtapose this to something somewhat amusing. This is a poster which went up in Beit Shemesh this week.
So let us set the scene here. It seems like the mayor of Beit Shemesh, it was too close to call, right? They're having a runoff election. So let me read what it says here. I'm just cracking up here because it's so terrible. B'milchemet mitzvah, in big yellow letters, like the warning yellow letters of, stay away from toxic chemicals. B'milchemet mitzvah, hakol yotzin. And then underneath, afilu chatan mechedro vekala mechupata. And then, of course, they give you the marmokum, exactly where that is in Mishnah, so you can look it up. Biyom Rishon Lamed Adar Aleph, which of course is today, where we're recording right now. Bisha Shlosh Yesterday, which I guess translates to, 1 o'clock. Is that 1 o'clock tomorrow? Yotzim Latzvia Liman Kedushat Ha'ir. Everyone has to go out. Whoever it is, even the Kala Michupata have to go out and vote for the holiness of the city of Beit Shemesh. And then, in quotes, Al-Chomotaya Chivkarati Shomrim, which of course is what God says, he guards Yerushalayim, right? That's the Chomos Yerushalayim, that God has like holy agents of protection. I'm not sure what he means by there. What is it called? Hamateach Hasidi. The Hasidic headquarters for Beit Shemesh.
We just don't know what Mechemes Mitzvah is. We call it Mechemes Mitzvah to protect Eretz Yisrael. No, Mechemes Mitzvah is to vote for Shmuel Greenberg for the Rosh Ha'ir Beit Shemesh. Maybe that's the Lot Chaya Kol Neshama, and anybody votes for the woman Mizrahi candidate, competitor, Eliza Bloch.
In a non-war period, it would be bad taste. In a period where young boys are being blown up by RPGs and are in Sakana every moment, every step they take, this is worse than bad taste. This should be condemned. How dare he, Greenberg, how dare he use this type of language when we know what's going on?
No, so I want to say about that. Let's talk about the Rav Yitzchak Yosef. So the point is like this. There's a point to discuss this a little bit. Rav Yitzchak Yosef said the Haredim are the shame, not just the people sitting in yeshivas, though presumably that's what he meant, but he said the Haredim are Shevet Levi b'zman hazeh. The Shevet Levi didn't go out to any war. I don't know how he knows that. I don't know where he gets that from, but this is his Kiddush. It says Shevet Levi never went out to any war, which I don't think is true. I think the Mechemes Rishus Shevet Levi didn't go. But Mechemes Mitzvah? Well, who popped in Mechemes Shevet Levi from Mechemes Mitzvah? I don't know what his basis for saying that is, and I think it's mistaken. So that's one thing. The second thing is that the assumption is that somebody who is sitting and learning Yerma Belayla, Torah, Atzuda, you can make an argument that perhaps that person is exempt for going out for some reason. But certainly we know that this is not a blanket tour for all Haredim. It shouldn't be a blanket tour for Haredim, because all Haredim are not necessarily ones who are sitting and learning Yom HaBalilah. Many of them are in special programs already, and they're trying to avoid the army by being in some special quasi-yeshiva program because they don't want to go to the army. So, and the third thing is, which I think is a more profound issue, is that if it was true that the yeshivas were saying, with great regret and great anguish. We say we cannot go to the army because it is incumbent upon us to uphold Am Yisrael on the side of as much as we don't want, as much as we would much rather go to the army and do our part, we just cannot do it because we have this chayv kaddish. That would be one thing. But that's not what the average yeshiva bachur is thinking. The average yeshiva bachur is thinking that, I don't want to go to the army, and this is a great way to get out of the army. That's the way my impression. Am I wrong about that? I don't think so.
Yeah, look, this has been the line that the Yeshiva Welt has taken for years. And as we have said, there's no question about it that Torah needs, as we've mentioned this last week, how there has to be a revolutionary hiskaskus in Torah, obviously. And Torah is Megun Umatzel. The problem here is that, these type of statements right now are intemperate and are open to a vast misinterpretation and will generate a tremendous kitrug. We've talked about the fact that there's many people who have the mantle of serious B'nai Torah, but aren't really living up to it. And, this is not the first time that we've talked about this. But once again, I think what bothers me more is his saying, okay, we're going to leave Eretz Yisrael. You're going to leave Eretz Yisrael? You're going to leave Kedushas Haaretz? You're going to leave Kedushas Haaretz in order, to go to Jackson? Like, to go to Lakewood? I mean, that's what it is?
No, he's fired. He's going to go to Deal.
He'll go to Deal, yes, right. I mean, this to me is a terrible thing to say. If you have the great merit to live in Eretz Yisrael with all its difficulties to be part of that life, you can't replicate that anywhere. You can't replicate that in Lakewood, in Muncie, in Deal, or anywhere. We know that the avir of Chochma that is shaylit there is tremendous without any mystical interpretations. And he's, again, what does he mean? We'll all leave? We'll all leave? Two comments. A, this is not the time to even speak about these things. There's beautiful drushes he could make that he could say, Lizman. And he's able, of course, to take that out of his pocket. He has a great memory, nothing like his father's, but he could definitely put together a beautiful, uplifting drusha that's important for people to hear. And the second thing, of course, as I'm saying, is that, this, to me, this type of talk about, leaving Eretz Yisrael. I mean, we talk about Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld, who never wanted to leave Eretz Yisrael once he came there. And he went through tremendous difficulty. He could have had a much easier life going back to Europe. He would have had a Rabbonis where, he would have been extolled. And even though in Yerushalayim, he eventually, Sefer Kovet Lovoy, he refused any sort of movement to leave Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Kivi Yosef Schlesinger, I mean, the idea of we can pick up and move. Was it better in the time of the British Mandate? Was it better in the time that the Turks ran Eretz Yisrael and the Fehrman didn't allow us to live in certain places? And it was a place of dysentery, a place of sewage, of raw sewage everywhere, a place where people were dying. And yet we know that Gedalia Yisrael, this was their cheshik to stay someplace.
Okay, so he'll answer. He'll say that all that was when they weren't under the Sakon of Shemad of the army. So I don't know if that's such a good time. But this is good for. This is good for your buddy, the guy who forgot my name, Rabbi Stav, because this is going to be an impetus for them to have a chief rabbi next time who's a religious Zionist. Because Rabbi Yitzchak Yosef is the first one, I think, in history who has actually basically put himself in the position of saying, I'm really not the chief rabbi of the state, I'm the chief rabbi of the Haredim. Because of his political statements. But, he said it, the other ones, I think, before him were more careful, even if perhaps they had such a belief. It certainly didn't come out that way. But he has. And that's going to create a backlash. And the next chief rabbi may well be Rabbi Stav because of Yitzhak Yosef's statements.
All right, perhaps.
I want to ask you what you thought about this, though. If you're, on the other hand, the flip side is, if you're Dati Lumi and you live in Chutz Laretz, right, you're a religious Zionist living in Cleveland or in Teaneck, what exempts you from having to go to the army?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Right. So I'm not sure if you live in Chutz Laretz and you're not going to the army, even though you're a religious Zionist, whether you have the right to criticize the Haredim and Eretz Yisrael. Because I don't know why the Melchama for Am Yisrael will stop at the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. I don't know.
For years I taught in a very pro-Tzioni school, and most of the kids there really hated the idea of the Haredisha world. And I brought Haredisha representatives to speak in the school. Maybe that's why I don't have a job there anymore. But I wanted them to describe their opinion, to actually give their opinion. And this is what they said. They said, look, I'm living in Eretz Yisrael. I'm paying taxes. I'm part of that life. Every time I go to the grocery store, there's taxes that go to the government. And in a way, look at you. You're sitting here, you know, from your perch in suburban Chicago and, you know, and criticizing us. Meanwhile, you're not going there, right? You know, you're staying here. Again, the argument, I guess, is that if you are benefiting directly from the services of the state, if the state is
you're in reciprocity.
Right. As opposed to, yeah, we should perhaps not just sit here comfortably. We should think if we are really strong Mizrachistic, we should realize how much Eretz Yisrael needs us. To fight these wars on two fronts, they need more people. Yeah, maybe there should be more enlistment from the North American pro-Zionist camps. Maybe they should actually, we should hear more about that. Has there been any encouragement? I don't think so, right?
A lot of these guys, I don't know.
Listen, you raise a good point, and then maybe our listeners can chime in on this, whether you think that, you know, again, I don't know how large the numbers are, but whether it's Teaneck or Cleveland or many places that have a strong pro-Eretz Yisrael feeling, that are they encouraging their seniors to graduate, to go to Eretz Yisrael, and instead of just, you know, enjoying their gap year, to enlist. I think that's a good point to perhaps challenge. So Rabbi Yosef, on a lighter note, as we've sort of like attacked, we've attacked two Rabbonim and one candidate for mayor on tonight's program. Do you think that you would be mezalzel in the kedusha of your role as the Rav, the leader of Anshei Palisades, if you would don some sort of costume on Purim or not?
Yes, I do wear a fez.
So are you gonna bring that to Kriyas Megillah next 2 weeks from now on the Motzei Shabbos?
Yes, a black fez.
A black fez. Yeah, I didn't think you wanted to be a Shriner, right? I didn't think you wanted to look like like the Shriner circus.
Usually, I wear my Tishbeka shawl instead of my frock.
Where do you think you draw the line, Rabbanim? I mean, what do you think about costumes? You think, should there be certain people who are just, come on, you're too old for a costume. It's not for you. Does there come the time where the person is embarrassing himself by doing that?
I don't want to say anything about the Steinbauer bus, you know, but certainly Rabbanim have no place to wear costumes of any...
But you might say there might be a difference between how you come to Kriyas Megillah, which this place can speak about, this farm speak about, the Halacha says should be Big Day Shabbos, which is different than perhaps at the Suda or before the Suda, just to create merriment. Would you say there might be a difference? Like in the
I have a jester hat, which I sometimes wear at the Suda. It's lost a lot of its bells, so...
But, right, in other words, yeah, nothing that encloses the Guf HaKodesh of
nothing. I know nothing is considered to be the Shabbos.
Everything else is be the Shabbos except the hat. Right? That's the one.
Yeah. Shoot, yeah. I don't think the modern Orthodox do actually dress a poor Shabbos to comport. By and large, I don't think they do.
The purpose is to find the costume. You have to try.
No, they just don't dress with the Vachadik.
Yeah, so again, look, they're ignorant of Shulchan Aruch. I remember I had a costume. I was the Tabas and the Etzba of Achashverosh, and that was the idea, that this was Hasaras HaTabas.
If you're put on a Kabbalistic costume, so then your state's a...
But my father said, no, you should take it off. He says, no, it's a suit. My father was home, said, you know, this is... But I thought it was such a chap.
Wait a minute, I forgot. You should mention it was your father's...
Yes, it is. My father's Yurtzeit just ended. And Gedoyu Asaras HaTabas. So, right. And again, it was crafted like with a hoop that was the ring. And then it was taken off and it looked like a finger. And again, you know, it was like, I was like a giant finger. But again, that's, of course, you know, perhaps a little bit too wild. One year, my wife and I went to Sonny and Cher. And this was right after... I think Sonny had the ski accident, so I was all bandaged up.
I believe last time I went in the costume was in high school, when I went, my friend Aaron Berger who was tall and lanky, supposed to be. And we went as A&P had two people in their advertisements, Price and Pride. I was Pride, and he was.
You
Price.
Were the Pride. I see. And so it's been a long time. Again, I think it's something that, you know, the place can speak about whether you're allowed to daven dressed in these costumes. I think Rabbi Yosha was asked about that. And, I think he said that even though he says, you know, the Stark Misnagid is wearing Chassidish Levush, and it's supposed to be like a Chayzik, that look at this guy wearing the Levush, he felt that since basically it was Mechubid, there wouldn't be a problem of being Mespalo in such a costume. Even though it's Moilit Tzchoik by people seeing you dressed differently, but Be'etzim, it's not necessarily a lack of Kovid. You know, I did see the Gabbai of our shul a number of years ago come in a giant bunny costume. And again, with this year, with Easter, I think aligning with Purim, I wouldn't be surprised if maybe some of those are being discounted.
It's Harvey.
Yeah. Well, Harvey, you don't see. Again, if you see Harvey, that means that it's already out of Yoda. If it's already, you know, do you see me? If you see me, then Mistobi, you're talking about Kai in the mitzvah. I'd want you to meet my good friend Harvey, right? A little bit of Jimmy Stewart there at the end. Take care, everybody. We'll see you next week. Be well.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. I hope you liked what you heard. If you did, please take a moment to share this or any of the many episodes available on our platform with friends in order to help grow our community. Until next time, Shalom.